Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You've been listening to Rafter Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Pro Seamless of Wisconsin, Swiftwater Ice Cream, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Rafters Baseball here on WFHR all summer long, or check us out on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
We here at WFHR and WIRI are grateful to be part of this wonderful community. To us, locally grown radio means just that. Local sports, local happenings and news, local business, and most importantly, you, our local listeners. Thank you for joining us today for this special programming on our 4th of July holiday. Happy Independence Day.
Hello, everyone. This is James J. Maloff, Program Director, host, wishing you all a fun, safe 4th of July.
Hi, Tim Hubble here of the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, wishing your family a happy and safe 4th of July.
Hello, this is Pamela Hilke, Traffic Director and Office Manager. I hope you and yours are having a wonderful July 4th. Enjoy our Independence Day and be safe.
Hello, this is Seth Habhager, Head of Production and On-Air Personality, wishing everyone a safe and happy 4th of July holiday.
And I'm Melissa Kay. Happy 4th of July.
Shut out the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 3-0 win over the Rockies. It's the crew's first shutout victory in Colorado since 2005. Christian Yelich with another home run and being named a starter in the upcoming All-Star game.
Yeah, not a bad day and a win, you know. So all in all, a pretty good day. We'll always take that and, you know, great job from the guys.
Catcher William Contreras also named a starter for the National League team. Colin Ray pitching 7 scoreless innings and the crew making a trade to get some help in the bullpen. They send minor league infielder Gregory Barrios to Tampa Bay for 29-year-old right-hander Aaron Civale. He'll likely be in the starting rotation. NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks have signed a free agent from the Lakers. It's small forward Taurean Prince, 6'5", 30 years old, averaged about 9 points a game in 78 appearances last year for Los Angeles, where he played for Darvin Ham, now an assistant coach for Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kiwani.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
We have some heavy rain on the way later this afternoon, tonight into tomorrow. We're talking an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain possible. Today, sunny this morning, scattered thunderstorms by later this afternoon, high of 84. Rain and thunderstorms tonight, 61. Tomorrow, rain, scattered thunderstorms, high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Today's Midday Magazine was previously recorded on a different date. Thank you for listening from WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James, with you. And joining us right now, our good friend, Rock Larson, Wood County Veterans Service Officer. Rock, it is always good to talk with you, even at lunch by the river, running into each other the other day. That was fun. That was good. How have you been?
Busy, but good.
Good. Good to hear. You have a couple of great topics for us to touch on today. And one of them to start off with is one our audience already knows how passionate I am about. I have one very unpopular opinion out there, and it is I feel like fireworks are a little overrated. I kind of feel like if you're over the age of 10, like really you've seen it. It's done it all. And to each their own, we love fireworks in this country. And I love the idea of Americans celebrating being American. I'm never going to shy away from that, and I like that. I do think that there are better ways to celebrate, and I think we're learning more and more, not only ways we can, but why it's a good idea to maybe knock fireworks out of our communities a little bit more and more. To each their own, again, this is just an unpopular opinion I have, and I'm just speaking for myself right now. But it's important to me. Now, it's important to me on a number of different levels. I think of young children, like my sister, who struggled with this when we were little, and we would go to the park on the 4th of July and she would just freak out and have a very, very bad time and did not enjoy herself. Or the dogs that I would see in the neighborhood or even currently that don't understand what's going on and have an extremely bad night with this. But most importantly, I had a grandfather that served in World War II that was in Korea. And this man it was made of Teflon. I seen this man put a nail in his foot and no change, nothing change in his face. But one firework goes off and he's looking over his shoulder and struggling with it. And because he was this certain type of person, he never talked about it, never shared any of his pain, never worked on any of this stuff. So he spent his whole life, including the last year of his life, honestly, not really liking the 4th of July that much. Imagine that. A man who gave so much to this country, that put so much into this country, and he doesn't get to celebrate the 4th of July. It's to me, that is the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing for our veterans. It's the opposite. And again, I understand that this is not the most popular thing to be saying, but I think that it is, what do we want to do? Do we want to do the right thing or the popular thing?
Well, and for our combat veterans, I mean, they can choose on whatever night it is, whether it's the night of the 4th or the Saturday closest to it or whatever, the community has fireworks. Those are publicized, and the veteran knows that they're going to happen and can go or not go. Mm-hmm. But it's,
can, you know, prepare for it.
Yeah. But yeah. It's those, and I remember I had a World War II veteran living next door to me, and my teenage sons would go out and blow stuff up, and it just sent him in a tizzy. So, I mean, it's the unexpected late night when, you know, some of these, you know, our World War II Korean veterans, they're up there in age. They're usually asleep by the time it's darn close to getting dark. And then, of course, our Vietnam veterans and our Gulf War, Desert Storm. So, I mean, some consideration, you know, don't come home from the bars or from out to dinner or over at your friend's barbecue or whatever, and I'm just going to blow some bottle rockets or some M80s or whatever there are out there now, I don't know. And these people are asleep, and loud noises or a bunch of fireworks sound an awful lot like an automatic machine gun going off. They will wake up, and they will be, you know, disoriented and just, so really it is, it's a time to be considerate of your neighbors that have served us.
Yeah.
There is actually a military with PTSD.org has a sign that prints out, "Combat veteran lives here, please be courteous with your fireworks." So it's a big thing. It's not just one or two people out there. I mean, it is a big thing.
And it's becoming more and more of an issue as we're having more and more of our veterans be able to share these experiences, these feelings. Many of them have dealt with this for a long time and not shared it, not talked about it. We're getting better about this with mental health and talking about these things.
They are, but still, it's hard. You don't want these are our veterans. They serve their country. They're, you know, supposed to be strong in their mind, and they don't want to admit their weaknesses. Certainly do not to the guy or gal living next door mm-hmm. or down the street, or that they kind of barely mm-hmm. don't know, maybe yeah. a little bit type thing. But really, when in doubt, you know, let them know that you're thinking about yeah. it, that you've got them, that, you know, on this night, you know, is it going to bother you? Just be courteous and respectful. I mean, these people suffer immensely from the weight they carry from serving our nation.
Couple of notes to just piggyback on Rock. One, there are noise ordinances. You know, there is laws that can be broken when you're doing this. So that is something to keep in mind as well. There are certain, yeah. you shouldn't be lighting fireworks after in dark or at night or a certain time of night anyway. So keeping that in mind.
Yeah. That have is you ever thing. Heard of anyone getting a ticket for it?
No, certainly. But I have seen neighbors in my neighborhood getting police showing up at 1 in the morning because they were lighting off fireworks. And somebody, one of the neighbors had mentioned something. I don't know what happened from there on, but I know that brought our officers out there. And here's another part of this, where our officers are busy enough. They don't need this kind of stuff. This is added problems that they don't need, that our community doesn't need. There has never been a person that wanted a firework at 2 in the morning that wasn't lighting it. Like, that person lighting it may want it. Nobody else in the neighborhood wants it. Nobody does. It is a selfish act, and it is not an American act, because America, that is not what we do. We are not the selfish type. That is not about us. So, again, you are not celebrating the holiday right. Like, do you want to celebrate this day right? Right. Or do you want to just celebrate and act like a knucklehead? Like, that's where the line is here. It isn't black and white, but it is pretty close. Another thing I think that is important to keep in mind is something that Rock has really hit on, I think, really well here. You know, when the Rafters have on a Friday night and they're going to have fireworks at the end of the night, they promote that pretty well. I think it's not a bad idea at all. If you know a veteran, make sure that they know about this. And certainly there are 4th of July celebrations throughout our area and everything too. It is these unpredictable ones that are so important to, you know, bring down in our society as much as we can. I'm not at all trying to get rid of fireworks, but what I am trying to get rid of is this idea of lighting them off at 2 in the morning and some right. of this. Rock, I had not heard, though, about these signs. That's a great idea. Where did you say? Is there somewhere
it's www.militarywithptsd.org. Okay. And I don't know if, you know, you can just print them out mm-hmm. or yeah. what. Another veteran sent this to me, and I said, oh, we'll talk about this again, because it is kind of, you know, I deal with people who have stress injuries and combat stress injuries all the time, and you know, loud noises, and we don't see them too often as much yeah. now with electronic ignitions on most things, but backfires and stuff. They can just.
Yeah. And the subject of PTSD, we're getting more and more information on. We're understanding it better and better, but there's still work to be done on this front too. And you're only hurting the progress of this subject with these things, like these things going on. We need to not only be there more for our veterans when it comes to these subjects, especially, in my opinion, PTSD, which is one that we're it's only been, what, 20 years or so that we've been talking about this, and it not being something that a soldier has to be at shell shock or one of these terms that was used.
That wasn't really. I mean, it's been around since Greek mythology, I believe. Homer talks about it in Ajax, I think.
Yeah, in Ajax.
And by many different names. I mean, there's been battle rattle, there's combat fatigue, all those things. And it's just, you know, your body is put into a situation that is not normal to, and you are asked to do very non-what we teach every day to other humans, and other humans do it to you. And it's just and it brings them right back to that.
Yeah.
So really try to be considerate, and because once again, I mean, we have enough conflict in our neighborhoods over any little thing. So, I mean, if you can alleviate that, please do, and try to be a little, think twice before you go out on a Saturday night after.
Try to consider why we're able to do this holiday, why we're able to celebrate these kind of things, why we're able to do a lot of this stuff. It is all thanks to a veteran. And just keeping that in mind, I hope, correct some of this for us. We're speaking with Rock Larson, Wood County Veteran Service Officer. Rock, you have a great event coming up on the 26th I wanted to talk about.
All right, yes. June 26th at Crossview Church, who hosts free of charge the Heroes Cafe, which is veterans,
police officers,
other first responders.
Yeah.
And it usually starts at 8, but on June 26th, that's a Wednesday, from 9 to 2, we're going to have a Veterans Expo, PAC Deck Enlightenment or event. You want, and the Tomah VA Medical Center is going to have a town hall with their leadership. And Tomah is the parent hospital for our clinic here in town, and the clinic in Wausau, and the clinic in Owen. So so they're all going to be at the Crossview Church, which is in the old Shopko Mall, downtown Wisconsin Rapids, 1000 East Riverview Expressway. And we're going to have representatives from the VA regional office in Milwaukee, and those are the people who do benefit claims. The Tomah Hospital System, which does, you know, all those wonderful things from whole health, which has got, you know, yoga and tai chi and all sorts of stuff in it, to the women's, their PTSD and MSC, military sexual trauma people. The state's sending some of their resources, whether it's the Veterans Outreach and Recovery Program, which deal with veterans in the community who have substance abuse issues, maybe homelessness, mental health. So all these resources are going to be there to talk to. There's also going to be representatives from, you know, a lot of the veteran service organizations. So if you wanted to find out a little bit more about the American Legion in the area, or the VFW or DAV, Vietnam Veterans of America, they should all be there. My office and staff will be there. We'll talk about your experiences, maybe you or your family members' disabilities. The PACT Act is just this huge toxic exposure, predominantly bill that was passed in 2022 already.
I was going to say, I think
but
it's 22.
But it's so vast. I mean, I just had a lady come in a couple weeks ago whose husband died of a cancer that's a presumptive for the burn pits. She applied for dependency and indemnity compensation, which means it's a service-connected death, and her children would get benefits. Was denied under the old rules that, you know, but now this presumptive illness, she's gets another kick at the can. She's going to be getting, I am positive it's going to be awarded, and it's about $1,600 a month, tax-free. Mm-hmm. We're going to work on trying to get the education benefits for her now adult children reimbursed, so maybe they can pay off the loans they had to take off and things like that. So there's lots of important stuff that we're going to discuss on this, and not necessarily just for our listener, but everyone you know. I mean, did somebody who served in Desert Storm or any time since then or for Agent Orange exposure. They added Guam and Thailand now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many veterans, but also the surviving spouses of veterans who may be eligible for federal benefits. And that would bring money into the community. We just had one that was PACT Act just get granted, and our friend, my employee Lita, mm-hmm. Went to the lady's home. She's housebound. You can't get out by herself. Needs some help and whatever. And the first words out of her mouth were, "Now I can stay in my home. I don't have to sell it and move into an apartment." Oh. I mean, it truly can be life-changing for some of these people. Earlier, it wasn't a PACT Act thing. It was just, I think we talked about, I was working on some cemetery stuff and came across this gravestone. I'm like, this guy died in 1999, Vietnam veteran. And I knew they changed some stuff, added some presumptive illnesses. And I got the death certificate, saw it, found out, reached out to the widow. She was still eligible. Even though she had remarried, she remarried after age 57, which is some weird law that, you know, Congress put in and VA has to work by. And it's a good law, but it's a weird law. Yeah. and what we did, and she was younger than her former husband, and it was able to give her health care and that $1,600 a month. And at the age of 62, 63, whatever she was, she was able to retire then and enjoy life, whereas before she was working for her health care. So there are lots of moving pieces to these surviving spouses and to the veterans if they're still with us. My job is to try to make their life better, try to do it with federal or state money, and we get that money moving around here in the community. And then everybody, whether it's the hardware store, the grocery store, the restaurant, they all get a little slice of those people living a little better with federal money.
And the benefits they deserve, the benefits they have earned.
They have sacrificed for, yes.
Yeah. I do want to send a shout out to Lita. I always do, always have to when you join us. And hello to her and the rest of your team over there. And I appreciate when this kind of subject comes up. One of my favorite people growing up, my Uncle Tim, served in Vietnam. And when this pact first came out, my Aunt Sherry and my mom talk all the time. And I remember hearing them talking on the phone about this and that they didn't even realize that Tim was available for this benefit and some of these things. Some pains and struggles that he has had my whole life that I had no idea. I've known my Uncle Tim. He's a rock. I've never seen this guy get like a, I don't know if I've ever even seen him stub his toe. But he was dealing with these pains and these aches and all these different things for decades, you know, for a long time with this. And now that there's some relief. They're not just so much physically, but financially with this.
Financially, and also, you know, there's a little bit of relief mentally that I'm this way because of serving my country. I'm not this way just because I'm a weak wreck. Or that I've had bad luck or this or that or whatever. I guess the word I'm looking for is a little validation. And if that takes that load, another load off, I mean, all those little stresses that we have in life, they build up. And if we can take a couple of away, excellent.
Yeah. One of the reasons, not just I, my aunt, and many people didn't realize he was struggling and he was in pain, constant pain and all these different things, was because his first response, well, I got back.
Yeah.
Like half my platoon didn't. Like, I don't have a right to complain. I don't, like, so many of our, I don't want to speak for veterans or soldiers or anything, but I've run into so many that this is the response. Well, I can walk. I'm okay. Like, you know, well, no, you deserve better than that. You know.
Not only that, but when I get people that that say that to me, like, they come in, other people deserve or need this more than I do. Big government is always, and has to be because it's the only way they can function, is about the numbers. So, more veterans getting the benefits they're entitled to instead of ignoring them keeps that system robust. And then there's more there. Instead, if we don't have people that don't need the VA clinic as much as someone who really needs it almost weekly, well, when those numbers shrink, those resources are going to move to where the numbers are.
That's a great note, Brock. That's really good.
And so the more people we get enrolled in using the VA healthcare system, the more people, unfortunately, that are using my services, because I'm up to my eyeballs and busy, makes, you know, when it comes time to cuts, and big government always looks at cuts because, you know, that's part of what they're trying to be frugal with our tax dollar.
Yeah.
And so you got to have the numbers to justify everything. So being a smaller piece of that bigger piece puts the numbers. I was listening yesterday to a Congress subcommittee on military or VA technology. They didn't even know they had one like that. And this guy, advocate from the DAV, talking to them and saying, you know, we represent a million or whatever number it was disabled veterans. Numbers speak. If we go and say, this is just my idea, I don't know any, there's no numbers, there's no crowd behind me, then, oh, okay, yeah, duly noted. Are you my constituent? Bye.
Yeah.
Type thing, because that's the way the system works and has to work. I mean, it's not perfect. It's better than most.
Yeah.
And, but there is strength in numbers, and if you are part of the numbers, even just a little bit, there's going to be more awareness for those that truly, truly are devastated by their service.
I think that's the strongest point I've heard about this. I appreciate you sharing that. And I will piggyback on another thought that you had, or another thing that you mentioned with this, of the knowing that you're not alone in this, that part of this is a key part of it as well. Understanding that, hey, you don't have to go through this alone. You're not the only one struggling with this. That goes a long way, too, for our veterans. Rock, I appreciate the information and the time, as always. Can we touch on this event one more time, what day it is and where it is?
It's Wednesday from 9 to 2. The Heroes Cafe actually usually starts at 8. But from 9 to 2, because they're driving from all over the state to be here for our veterans, and at 11 o'clock till noon will be the Toma VA Town Hall. That's the Toma Hospital Director, Karen Long. The woman that oversees just so many programs and so much stuff. And I've known her for years. She's always responsive. But, you know, they're big government.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. And,
well, it'll be great to
have
them.
They want to get out and talk and see what people are feeling.
And no middle person. You're just able to talk to them and everything. Yeah. That's fantastic. Rock, if people want to talk with you, catch up on some of the things we have talked about today, how can they reach you?
They can talk to me or my staff, because you don't have to necessarily talk to me. All my staff are disabled veterans, and they're accredited also, which means they're kind of licensed. They've gone through training, and the VA recognize them. But our phone number is 920-210. Wait a minute. That's not it. That's my cell phone. It's 715-421-8420. And we do have an office in Marshfield, manned by Jason. His number's different, but if you're in the Marshfield area, we'll put you over. We're in the courthouse. We do take walk-ins, but we prefer appointments so we can plan stuff, because if, you know, sometimes you get overwhelmed.
Yeah. Again, that phone number, 715-421-8420. Thank you, Rock, for everything you do for our community, for our veterans, and for hanging out with us for a little bit. Thank you for the time.
My pleasure.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Let's scream for Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, Wisconsin.
Enjoy the best ice cream for miles. From opening day to all those summer nights, you'll find the owners and staff there to serve you, and you'll recommend it to others, too.
Great family-owned business. Love seeing their smiling faces. You just know they love being there. They go above and beyond for their customers. Ice cream is great, too. So many different choices. There's something for everyone.
Swiftwater Ice Cream, where the choices and fun are endless.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Coast Guard is closing two parts of the Mississippi River in western Wisconsin. The affected areas go from Whitman, Minnesota to Trempealeau, and then from La Crosse to the Quad Cities. The Coast Guard says the water is too high from recent rains to be safe for people or their boats. Public support is slipping a bit for new wind and solar energy projects, 75% compared to 80% according to the Pew Research Center. Advocates say people need to understand climate change is happening right now.
We can point to the drought that affected our farmers last summer, and then in stark comparison, the intense rain and flooding events we've been experiencing this spring and summer.
Kieran Gallagher is with Clean Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. ATV-UTV riding is becoming a popular pastime in our state. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources urges ATV and UTV riders to celebrate the 4th of July holiday responsibly. 17 people have been killed in ATV-UTV crashes so far this year. Some contributing factors to their deaths include not wearing a seatbelt or helmet, and alcohol and speed were also factors. Wearing appropriate gear and operating responsibly significantly reduces the chance of a severe injury or a fatal crash. The City of Wisconsin Rapids Independence Day celebration begins at 6 p.m. tonight. DJ Entertainment Engines will begin playing music downtown at 6. The Wisconsin Rapids City Band will perform outside the Centralia Center from 7 to 8, and Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen Addison Morin will sing the national anthem before the fireworks show begins around 9:30. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 4th of July typically means a big weekend at the summer box office. This year should not disappoint. Opening this weekend is Disney Pixar's Despicable Me 4, which is expected to be the film that finally knocks off Inside Out 2 from the top spot. The most recent installment is pulling a not-quite-fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the franchise has enough street cred with audiences to put the butts in the seats. Despicable Me 4 stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Another highly anticipated opening is Maxine, a film about a young, aspiring actress in 1980s Hollywood that gets drawn into the world of adult films, all while a serial killer haunts the LA streets. If you want to watch a moving picture from the comfort of your own home, Eddie Murphy stars in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is now available to stream on Netflix. The film is receiving a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes and has some of the same old cast members, including Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, and has added a fresh face in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. On and off showers and storms into your Friday morning with lows close to 60. For Friday afternoon, pop-up showers and storms and highs in the low 70s. Upper 70s to near 80 for the weekend, still a chance of rain. Little change into early next week. More rain possible. Highs close to 80. It's 71 right now.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state. And it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade. And if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Today's Midday Magazine was previously recorded on a different date. Thank you for listening from WFHR. Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And welcoming into the studio, we are going to be talking to our some great people today. First off, we have Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent Craig Broren. One more time, Craig, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate the time. Also want to introduce to you Steve Hepp. Steve, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us. So I'm Steve Hepp. I'm the Director of Pupil Services for the district, but I also serve as the principal of River Cities High School.
Good to see you again, Steve. Thanks for being here. We have Carrie Siler here with us as well. Carrie, am I saying that right?
Siler.
Okay, Siler. Carrie, thank you for being here. What is your position?
I'm the school counselor at River Cities High School.
Excellent. Thank you for being here, Carrie. And we have Marty Olivares?
Olivares.
Yes. All right. Olivares, a beautiful name. I want to get that right. Marty, thank you for being here. What do you do?
I am a teacher at River Cities, one of the special ed teachers, alt ed teachers.
Excellent. Excellent. Right out the gate, I want to let all of you know how much we appreciate you, appreciate what you put into our community, what you do for our kids, what you do for our future, really. The investment that you have made in your careers, in our future, we greatly appreciate the work that is being done. And what you're doing at River Cities High School is unique and helpful, and I would like to kind of focus on that if you don't mind starting things off. And Steve, let's start with you as the principal and I want you to kind of talk to the audience a little bit as if they don't know what River Cities High School is and what you guys do there.
So River Cities High School is an alternative high school created for students that are credit deficient, maybe not on the same track to graduate from Lincoln High School or maybe possibly a different high school if they are from a different community. Sometimes we have students open enroll in. And if they're credit deficient, they're not on track, it's an opportunity for them to still earn their high school diploma and look at different careers and different options for life after high school. So our mission is to kind of make sure that they have the tools and the skills to be successful after they graduate. So we really try to get to know the students individually and go from there.
Very well done. Nicely done, Steve. Appreciate that. When it comes to this, I do also want to mention a personal note, if you don't mind. I didn't grow up in this school system. I grew up in the Illinois school system. I grew up in a very violent area, and my family moved around a lot. When we were moving around, my school credits and everything got lost, or paperwork got lost, and I ended up having to redo second grade. And while at the time it was very difficult, it was one of the best things to happen to me. I would end up going out here and going to school and still being a knucklehead a bit. It took me a while to really get things right and get focused on school. And I'm the fourth James in my family. None of the other Jameses had ever graduated high school. So it was very important to my family and to me that I graduated high school. Got into my senior year. I'm just about going to make it. I mean, cutting it close, but I'm going to make it. And I don't pass science. And I am a quarter credit shy, so I was not able to graduate with the rest of my class. I took a class at Mid-State, was able to graduate within the same year, but wasn't able to walk with my students and everything, my fellow students and all that. It's something to this day that is a crux in my, it just bugs me and everything. But I'm thankful that I was able to. But I look at that back then, and I think, well, if I was in school now in that same situation, River Cities probably would have been a place for me and would have been so beneficial for me and so many students. I know I'm not alone in this. There are so many other kids out there that have a similar story to mine that could have been benefited by having a River Cities around. We're thankful to have you guys around. We're thankful to have this around. What are other examples, if you don't mind, without being too detailed or personal, certainly, of the type of kids that are really benefited from having River Cities in our town? And Steve, I don't mean to put you on the spot with this or anything, but I am curious. I want the audience to understand the importance of this school.
Yeah, so a lot of times some of the students that come in, you know, when they are credit deficient, they have no chance of graduating from their high school that they were attending. So a lot of them, they kind of lose hope. And then when we have them, we have several different options for graduation that they can to kind of go through. And it kind of gives them that hope back. And then also besides just that graduation aspect of it, we really focus on, okay, now what? Okay, what's going to happen after high school? It's not just about graduating from high school. It's the skills, the things that they need to be successful after school or after high school. And then we have a lot of students that when they first come in, they don't think they're going to graduate. Then they learn that they're going to graduate. And then it's about, now what? Maybe it's going to Mid-State or some sort of other post-secondary college. And we do have quite a few students that do that. And sometimes we have students that will take a class or two while they're still with us. Or sometimes we have our staff are really good at connecting with our students with community members and different workforce environments where they can go in and job shadow or get some connections, and they can get connected with some different opportunities that maybe they didn't have before.
So much of school, especially at the later levels, is preparing kids for the next stage of their lives and getting them prepared for that. It's no different with this, but it's I don't want to say it's more vital, but it is so important with that. You mentioned a word that I think is really, really important with this conversation that I want everybody to keep remembering, not so much you guys, you already know it, but our audience to really remember as we're talking about this, what it means to have hope. I did not grow up with that. I did not grow up with a lot of that in me. And it was a lot of my teachers that gave that to me and gave me an idea that you don't have to go down this path. You can go down other paths. It's your life. You can choose these things. They gave me something that I couldn't get anywhere else, but it was in me that I just didn't know, and that hope. And that may seem simple. It may seem like to people out there that have plenty of it, what's the big deal? It's just hope. It is everything. It is everything. It's that thing that gets you up in the morning. It's that thing that makes you cram for a test that you don't know that you can pass or not. It's such an integral part to the youth. And to think that you think of that, that you have that in mind, that you, your staff does, that goes so much farther than we can even put into words for these kids. Whatever they do with their lives going forward, having that hope and giving some encouragement to that, feeding that hope. I can't imagine how much farther they will go in life because they had that. I'm also curious about if there is a different style of teaching or a different approach to these students than you would have at other schools. Marty, have you taught at other schools? I didn't get a chance to look at your bio real quick beforehand or anything, but I'm curious, teaching at other schools compared to here, what differences there might be, if there are any.
Yes, I taught at East Junior High when that was open for 20-some years.
I thought you did. Okay.
And then I taught at the middle school for a year, and then I moved to River Cities. And it is just a wonderful experience. And like Steve said, hope is huge. I mean, that's what we bring every day to these kids, and they bring that to us. And so I think that's the big difference is, we enjoy being there, and we want the kids to enjoy being there and see that there's a lot out there for them, and we're going to give that to them.
Well said. Yeah, that's interesting to hear. Let's go. Steve, do you see any different approach with this school compared to others or anything?
Well, I think one big thing is it is a smaller school, and we have a smaller staff, but the staff really has an opportunity to get to know the students individually, really get to know them when they come in and learn about their skill sets and what they need to move forward. And it's really interesting watching students when they first come in and see them grow throughout the year and see how they become comfortable in that environment, and they start to open up more because they know it's a trusting environment, they know it's a safe environment for them.
And I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Carrie, I'm curious too, when it comes to your position and what you do. Certainly it's something that every school is benefited by having a counselor, by having somebody there that can be a third party, that can be so many things for these kids at that time in their lives when they don't have a lot of things that they can go to or trust. And having a good school counselor, somebody that they can really lean on, it really goes a lot farther than we realize. Again, something that I learned. I was such a knucklehead.
bad, you guys. I really was. And I was struggling and dealing with a lot of things I didn't even know I was. But our school counselor over at, I believe, East, took a moment, took some time and spent some time with me and gave me some lessons that I just got done teaching to some students of mine about a month or two ago where I teach at Second City and where I did teach at Second City. And that's an improv school. That's just acting and everything. And I was talking to a 34-year-old man and I was giving him a lesson that I learned at 14 from my guidance counselor, who was integral to not only my looking at myself and my self-worth, but having that thing again, hope, having some of that. Do you find this position at this particular school more necessary than other jobs maybe you've done, or just more vital work? Is there any part of it that stands out to you more than at other places you might have worked?
Well, it's interesting when you talk about this position, because I kind of feel like when you walk into our building, you would not know really who does what. Sometimes I'm in the office answering phones. Sometimes, you know, Marty's putting a Band-Aid on someone, you know.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, in the kitchen, yeah. You wouldn't really, we all kind of do it all together. As far as the counseling piece, I think that the only difference is that I have a lot more flexibility to do different things. I mean, wouldn't you say? I mean, I don't sit in an office and wait for kids to come in. We're all, you know, it's a different position than I think people would visualize in the regular setting. The important piece, I feel that I like to bring to the table is that just knowing that everybody comes from a different place, and helping them figure out why they are the way they are, and how to make themselves better individually. It's so important for us to look at each student that comes in and all of their experiences and how we can take those things and build.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many great things our students have.
It wasn't an easy question to answer, and I appreciate your answer, and very well worded, by the way. Two notes on that. One, part of the reason I ask these questions of you guys is so that the audience, again, has another understanding of this school, these kids, no different than any other. No different. They're the same as any other set of kids out there, with some of the same problems and some of the same things going on through their heads and hearts. It's important to note when we're talking about the school. I think it's also noteworthy what you mentioned there about multiple hats. We know something about that in radio. That you don't get into radio and you're doing this. Oh, you're also going to be doing all these things. It's important to note when we're talking about our education and why we need funding and why we need more and more good people in this industry and more funding and attention brought to our schools. When we have bills up for passing and different things, we've seen in recent years, some of these get passed, some of them don't. It's important to fund and to invest in our youth, invest in our education. It is the future. I just double checked beforehand and it turns out kids are the future. And so it feels like a good idea to invest in that. So I don't want to encourage people to do so and maybe take a couple of tasks off these guys' plates and everything and give them the freedom to be able to do other things. Not that you all are complaining, because you never do. Teachers don't do that. But I do think that it's important that we can touch on this subject whenever we can about the funding in our school systems and how vital it is. And I appreciate that answer very much, Carrie. Thank you. Is there anything that you think is noteworthy about your positions, if you will, that you think the audience would be good to know about what you do over there?
Well, one thing, I'll go back to something that Steve said. Students, you know, they start off with us maybe not feeling great about school, not feeling great about their future. And the first part of, I think, what we do well is I don't want to say break down the barriers, but allow them to feel safe and comfortable. And we do have a rule. They're supposed to have fun. They have to have fun at school. We have fun. We like to be at school. We laugh a lot. In fact, sometimes I feel like it's probably you walk in and go, are you guys working? Are you having too much fun? But we laugh with our kids. And I think then they feel that they're in a place that they can learn and they can make plans for their future and they feel good about their futures. And I know that I just ran into a graduate who was in tears about our building and what that meant to him. And it was it was just amazing. We run into students all the time. I know, Marty, you've been contacting students through another program, and it's just amazing to hear what some of them are doing and for them to reflect on the relationships that were built at our school.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we well love said. When they come back and visit and just tell us what they're up to, what they're doing, and how life is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine how far that takes things and how much that helps, especially the grind that the school year can be and everything. We love our jobs, love doing what we're doing, but we also know what a hard day can feel like. So having those kind of things to kind of fall back on and everything can only be a benefit to that, as well as just an everyday kind of thing. As we're wrapping up talking a little bit about River Cities High School, Steve, I was wondering, is there any other notes or anything else that you think would be good for the audience to know about what you guys do over there, the school itself? For the students?
Well, I think, I think it's important that we appreciate the community support. I think we get a lot of support from different foundations, different businesses. People, I think, realize what a good opportunity it is for students. So we really appreciate that. We appreciate the school board being so supportive in getting this going, because there's not a lot of other districts that have a building like this. You know, and Craig, as a superintendent, has been super supportive as well, making sure that we have everything that we need to be successful in what we're doing over there. So I think that's one of the biggest things. I just reiterate the importance of the building, that we are able to provide something different for students that need something different, and that we're very appreciative of the support we have.
And we're appreciative of you guys and the work that you're doing.
Yep. And then we're also, this next year will be the start of our 25th year, so we're excited about that as well.
That took me off guard. Yeah. 25 years, I didn't realize it's been that long. That is great to hear. Man, that's one of our good stories of the day right there. That's pretty cool. Thank you all for the conversation. Really do appreciate it. I want to kind of springboard and segue into Craig a little bit with that, what you were saying there, Steve. Craig, for you, getting this started, seeing this, encouraging this, supporting this school, and schools like it in our area, in our district, where did you see a need? Why did you see this being so important?
Well, so I'm going to, I guess, put the emphasis where it belongs. I have, frankly, absolutely nothing or incredibly little to do with the success or relative success of River Cities High School. So, and that's something that I'm happy to own. I'm lucky enough to have been involved with a district that had an alternative school started in 2000. John Greenlow is a former pupil services director that was instrumental, among other people, in getting that started at the time. Gus Mancuso was Lincoln High School principal as well. I know there were others involved. I don't remember who those people are, so I don't mean to discredit anybody by not naming names. But and John and his wife come back to River City's graduation every year. And so I've only been part of that process for about 7 years. And frankly, from the perspective of any district leadership, whether it's superintendent or director or whatever your role may be, when you have a facility with the human beings like you do at River Cities High School that operates largely independently and autonomously with the best interests and needs of kids at heart, and awesome things are happening, then of course that direct involvement or any kind of, you know, significant accountability or oversight, there's always backdrop of accountability. They can't go there and do whatever they want to do. But on the same hand, there's no reason to insert yourself in things that are successful. And I want to ensure that I take no credit whatsoever for the relative success of River Cities High School, although I'm honored to have been able to be supportive of what is an outstanding program. And that's true with you know, many respects to the district. And in serving in these positions, it's simpler, you know, it's a similar mindset to what are areas that truly need focus? Where can you see engagement and change take place that's going to be effective based on the time and the condition mm-hmm. you find yourself in, right? Mm-hmm. And don't, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, I mean, it's one of those sort of scenarios. And River Cities in particular, you can point to as just being completely self-sufficient and really, and this is personal opinion now, I'm divorcing myself from the superintendent role, but this is exactly what we need to do, but on a larger scale. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing that I will say about public education is that we are doing a much better job because we recognize it's not a one-size-fits-all. That's the way it was when I was in school. I'm sure many people that are listening, that's the way it was too. You sat there, you got the content. If you didn't get it, it was kind of like too bad. Now, your teachers didn't just say too bad and, you know, walked away. But a focus is really to individualize instruction and ensure that kids of varying abilities and you know, all these other factors get what they need. River Cities has the capability of making that happen. And I was at, by my own request, they have, I'm trying to think of the terminology, where you're kind of visiting or debriefing on every student and having, and it's exactly, so the backdrop is kind of the, it's called MLSS, multi-level systems of support. And so this is an idea around both behavior and academics and social emotional supports and learning. And the idea that we identify where a kid is at, utilizing data, both anecdotal as well as collected data, and identify what we need to do as a, as an individual or as a school building or as a classroom, whatever the case may be, to ensure they're successful or can see better success in areas of academics, behavior, social emotional learning, whatever the case may be. So it's this multifaceted sort of data-informed decision-making. And of course, we're engaged in that in the district, district-wide. Where you have, you know, for example, 1,350 students at Lincoln High School, it looks much different than where you have 150 or 200 students at River Cities. Although what I will say is, having been involved in that process, now sitting there, I wasn't directly involved, but, you know, getting a better understanding of how that goes, in my opinion, that's exactly what you need to do, what these folks did. They had conversations on multiple levels about the kid as a human being and not the kid as just like numbers on a page. Now, that's part of the conversation. But when you have four or five or six adults around the table that are all engaged talking about and sharing things about this student, that it's like, oh my God, how do you even know that? It shows you the depth of the relationship and also the extent that they're willing to go to ensure that those kids are successful. And so that's with the beauty of the program, in my opinion, and that's what makes it function, and that's also why you would look at that as a rational person, in my opinion, and be like, okay, as long as they're doing what they need to be doing, and as long as we can, you know, show support, and if they need things, we can assist in that regard. But why would you get involved in that when something is working as well as it is?
With something so important and so varied and depth and so much depth to it, like education, the idea of here's this size, make it fit, doesn't make sense. It never did. We're correcting that now.
Yeah.
I forgive the sports metaphor and everything. I can't help myself, but so many coaches. It's my way or the highway. This is what I've always done. Here's my playbook. Learn it. Andy Reid gets Patrick Mahomes and says, what are your skill sets? What are you good at? I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to change up my playbook completely. They go and win a couple Super Bowls. I mean, this is the kind of thing that can happen when you adjust your teaching and you adjust to the student. You adjust to the person that you're working with. It not only makes the betterment of our system and our education system, but our future. Again, because that's what this is about, everybody, is the future of our country, of our world, of our industries. Everything is on the line here with this. So we need to be paying attention to it. We need to be making these adjustments where we can. And we need to appreciate the people that are in this industry and that make this industry run. And we appreciate you, Craig. You've been a game changer in this area, the approach and your way of talking, not just to us, but to these students. We have so enjoyed working with you and having you on the air with us. Wishing nothing but the best going forward. The only thing I ask is don't be a stranger. Every once in a while, reach out, let us know how you're doing and everything, man. But know that you are appreciated and you made an impact on this community. And most importantly, not just to me or even these guys here, but these kids. These kids are going to remember you, man. And we appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Did want to make note that new Superintendent Ron Rasmussen is looking forward to continuing the tradition of joining us here monthly. Interested to see about that. That should be a good conversation going forward. Thank you all so much for what you do, putting up with me and my questions, and hopefully having a good time with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate all of you. Craig, we'll talk again soon. You take care, sir.
Thanks, James.
Did you have any final notes? I can let you. I didn't want to cut you off if you had anything.
Well, I just wanted to thank the community for the support that they've shown this the school district and myself. I'll freely admit that I'm acquired taste. I'm an interesting human being in many ways, shapes, and forms. One of my least redeeming qualities is my big fat yip-yapper. But I think that, tolerating that and recognizing where the passion is coming from and the idea that it is about being supportive of kids because, you're right. I mean, the things that we're doing as a school district are super important and how that ties into the community.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. And I'm joined by host of Max Inc. Radio here on Civic Media, our favorite Friday friend, Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad, you don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.